Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters, Christian greetings from the Lvov congregation to all participants of the convention in Baia Mare. One of the greatest deeds done for the Lord during his mission on earth was the kindness of Mary, who anointed Jesus with expensive oil. This was so special that Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be spoken of in memory of her." Mark 14 and 9. Our Lord's mission was coming to an end. The life of the teacher had been full. He had performed many miracles and spent much time teaching people and the apostles. The Lord spent many nights in prayer to the Father. Thus, at the end of his mission, he was tired. As it is written, virtue went out of him. Gospel writers quite accurately describe the last days of our Lord's life on earth. Just one such described event will serve as our lesson today. Three Gospel writers mention this event, namely Matthew 26, 6-13, Mark 14, 3-9, John 12, 1-8. Jesus was travelling to Jerusalem from Jericho. We recall some preceding events in Jericho: Zacchaeus' hospitality, the parable of 10 pieces of silver, and the healing of 2 blind men as Jesus was leaving Jericho. He is now reading the verses from Matthew, Mark, and John. Matthew 26, 6-13, Mark 14, 3-9, and John 12, 1-8. The road to Jerusalem passes through a desert and mountain village, which was considered quite dangerous. The distance between Jericho and Jerusalem is about 30 miles. But before his visit to Jerusalem, Jesus visited his close friends at Bethany. These friends always happily greeted him and joyfully served him. This event most likely happened on a Saturday, though a detailed account is not given in the Gospel. The account only mentions a supper prepared for the Lord by Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. The visit was a true chance to rest, mentally and physically. The time, however, was not wasted. Our Lord spoke the words of life that made his audience rest. As it is written, the good man brings good things out of the good treasures of his heart. Jesus had often visited the house. In one instance, Martha was distracted with various tasks, while Mary sat at Jesus' feet and listened with delight. Both sisters enjoyed the great privilege to serve Jesus. Martha served by preparing and serving food at the table, while Mary served, having anointed Jesus with pleasant perfume. It was not long. The Apostle John, chapter 12, verse 3, completes the picture. She anointed Jesus' feet and used her hair to wipe his feet. This must have been a very soothing and lovely deed for our Lord. Mary did a great thing for him. She honored Jesus' head, the same head that was soon to become the object of accusations and ridicule as a crown of thorns was placed on it. The feet that she anointed were the weary feet that walked the mountains of Israel, soon to be pierced by nails. What great love and respect for Jesus filled Mary's heart. The lovely fragrance of her heart was stronger than the perfume that filled the house. Mary's deed evokes our admiration and joy as we realize that love breaks down the inhibitions that might otherwise hold back a grateful heart. Judas, as well as other apostles, expressed their displeasure at what they saw. They were aware of the cost of the perfume and thought that it would have been better to invest differently. They regarded what Mary did as wasteful. Did Judas ever give anything to our Lord? No. To add insult to injury, Judas sold our Lord for 30 pieces of silver, the value of a slave. Soon after Mary anointing Jesus, Judas went to the priests to betray Jesus and receive payment. Mary and Judas, two contrasting characters. Their character did not appear in an instant. Each one developed over time. For her part, Mary developed love and appreciation for Jesus. Her heart was entirely filled with such emotion. At the propitious moment, she poured her perfume. Why did her dedication so much affect Judas? Because he increasingly allowed selfishness to master him. Money had a big influence on him. Selfishness completely supplanted love. For our benefit, we have two examples. The first of developing love and appreciation of all that is good, loving and pure. The second shows the need to fight everything that brings selfishness, that blinds one, leaving one unable to appreciate the goodness of God and men. The Israelites used special ointments that had many different ingredients. One ingredient was olive oil, a precious Israelite produce. Olive oil was customarily combined with other spices, usually from abroad. One Kings chapter 10 and verse 10 says, "Never again were so many spices brought in as those the Queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. Those were aromatic spices, myrrh and nard, mentioned in the Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 14. Quote, nard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with every kind of incense tree, with myrrh and aloes and all the finest spices." Unquote. Such ointments were very precious and an object of everyone's desire. Their ingredients, often in ready-made oils and resins, would be purchased from Phoenicians, who brought them in small alabaster jars, best for keeping their delicious fragrance. Production of these spices needs special skills and constituted a distinct trade, mentioned by Solomon in Ecclesiastes 10 and 1. Quote, "Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savour." Unquote. Women often performed that type of work. Quote, "He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers." Unquote. That's 1 Samuel 8 and 13. Best quality myrrh was long-lasting. The quality of its ingredients was so high that we have samples of myrrh retaining its fragrance for hundreds of years. One sample of such an alabaster jar can be found in the Museum of Alnwick Castle, though the sample is 2,000 to 3,000 years old, it still retains its fragrance. The Gospel does not specify how Mary obtained the precious myrrh. Perhaps she bought it at a high cost, or perhaps she made the ointment herself with costly spices and hand labour. Judas valued it at more than 300 denarii. In Jesus' parable of the vineyard labourers, a denarius was the usual wage of a day labourer. Quote, "He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day." Unquote. That's Matthew 20 and 2. From this we conclude that the value of the ointment was a year's wages. There were all sorts of people among Jesus' friends. Some were wealthy, but most were poor. So it is not surprising that the apostles reacted with surprise and indignation. People then had little income and mostly worked for food. The family we are concerned with belonged to the middle class, for they owned a house, owned a grave, and Mary could afford a very precious jar of myrrh with very costly nard. Solomon mentioned such middle class prosperity. Quote, Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread." Unquote. That's Proverbs 30:8. But Mary served the Lord not because she had plenty in this world. She served because she had the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of ministry, service. Mentioning one of the reasons Jesus came into this world, Jesus said, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Matthew 20:28. This was the lesson that Jesus wanted to teach the apostles through the example of his own life and words. At another time, the apostles had an opportunity to serve Jesus and one another, but ignored it because the spirit of haughtiness overtook their hearts. Who of them would be first in the kingdom? That is why they did not offer to wash Jesus' feet. To have a desire to serve others, one must have a regard for others and be willing to sacrifice something. That is why Jesus commended Mary more than other of his friends. Quote, "She has done what she could," unquote, because she had the spirit of ministry, the service. Mary ignored the complaints. She was not fearful because she loved the Lord, and perfect love casts out fear. It is a lovely example and a lesson for the entire gospel age, especially for the end of this age, because we know there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy. 2 Timothy 3:1 and 2. We live in an immoral society. We are in danger of infection with the same spirit. But we appreciate the privileges and blessings given by Jesus to us as participants in the high calling. We have learned God's plan of salvation for humanity. We understand the work of atonement and our participation in it. This should encourage us to develop the spirit of service. Our hearts are vessels of the Holy Spirit, a precious fragrance of compassion and love. To get the Holy Spirit, much effort and time is needed. We receive this blessed influence from the Father through the Son. We derive God's Spirit from God's Word by regular study of it and also reading comments from studies in the Scriptures and other secondary literature. Also, our meetings are places where we can drink of the Holy Spirit. Quote, "Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." Unquote. That's Ephesians 5:18-19.
Ми зауважуємо, що коли розмовляємо.
When we talk with brethren about the Word of God, we become even more filled with the Spirit. Who is filled will be filled even more. The Lord gives us ample time to assimilate what we learn from His Word. That is why, at the beginning of our Christian journey, we appreciate calm conditions, favouring growth of the inner man, to develop all the graces of the Spirit. In this state, we can manifest the Spirit of service, the Spirit of Christ. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. Romans 8 and verse 9. How can we serve the brethren? Are there opportunities to serve members of the body of Christ? Each member in Christ is necessary. Mary's example is good for the sisters. Mary could not walk with the apostles and preach the good news and thus assist in the work of the Jewish harvest age. However, she served the Lord in a different way. And so, sisters, although constrained in certain privileges of service in the church, not teachers, pastors, or evangelists, there is much other work they can do. If you have a desire, you will find numerous opportunities for service. They will come from the Lord, because such opportunities are all around us. We are still on the narrow way, where we encounter many hardships and difficulties. Brethren who walk with us may become weak over time. We need to show our compassion and console them. Who else will come to their aid? The world does not understand our experiences. Even family members, those who are not consecrated, sometimes they cannot understand us. We are not required to deliver great deeds. The manner comments of October the 24th says that our brothers and sisters are in most need of our compassion and support. It says, "We have often wondered where were Peter and John and James, that they did not see the Master's burden and run to proper assistance." If disposed to envy Simon his privilege of assisting the Master in bearing his cross, let us reflect that many of the Lord's brethren are daily bearing symbolic crosses, and that it is our privilege to assist them, and that the Lord agrees to reckon any service done to his faithful followers as though it were rendered to his own person. As the wooden cross was not our Lord's heaviest burden, so too his followers have crosses that the world sees not, but which the brethren should understand. Bear ye one another's burdens, and thus fulfill the law of Christ. In what way can we help others carry burdens? And what are such burdens? All of us at some point decided to follow the Lord. As Jesus said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Matthew 16 and 24. We all have our own special experiences that help us grow as new creatures. Sometimes, however, brethren carry burdens that burden them heavily. It is our duty to comfort them and provide appropriate assistance in such moments. This may be unexpected misfortune, trouble in the family, financial problems, or physical and mental suffering. If we help at such a time with words of consolation or through other means, their burdens will become lighter. This is how we carry one another's burdens. In other words, we serve another. And so we keep the law of Christ, the law of love. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. Why do we have to lay down our lives for brethren? Because we have consecrated towards such an end, to obey God's commandments, which we love so much that obeying them is not burdensome. The greater the price we pay to serve, the more the Lord appreciates our service and rewards it accordingly. Quote, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. That's Hebrews 6 and 10. Jesus did not have help from others. Mary's deed was an exception. It strengthened and comforted him. He was despised and rejected of men. Even 12 of the best, God's chosen apostles, did not stand by his side in a difficult moment. Those closest to him, Peter, James, and John, were unable to comfort him. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. He returned and found them sleeping. Then God sent an angel that comforted him. If we do not take the opportunity to encourage God's children, then he will send them help another way. For he promised, I will not leave thee nor forsake thee. However, we will lose the opportunity to demonstrate the spirit of service. We will lose the blessing. What blessing do we receive from serving others? 1. The validation that we are children of God because we are guided by God's Spirit. 2. Peace and contentment to our hearts. 3. Happiness in that serving brethren is serving the Lord. Mary did not realize that she was anointing the Lord for his death. Had she done her kindness the following Saturday, it would have been too late. Jesus was dead by then. His tomb was sealed and guarded by soldiers. The spices would have remained with Mary. Do not wait to serve our Lord and his body members, because time is limited. The gospel age is coming to an end. Let not our first priority be arranging our life in this world, building a house, buying a beautiful car, acquiring a good education, a good job, a successful marriage, etc. The body of Christ will not always be with us on earth, and we will not always have the opportunity to serve. Such an opportunity may be taken from us due to poor health, etc. Thus, first on our mind should be service to the body of Christ, and therefore service to the Lord. Someone once said, "If my friends keep alabaster jars full of fragrant perfumes of sympathy and affection in order to break them over my body, I would prefer that they brought and opened them during my distressing and troubling times to refresh me and encourage me when I need them. I would rather have a simple coffin and no flowers, a funeral without a tribute, than a life without the perfume of sympathy and love. Flowers on the casket cast no fragrance backward over the weary days." The best thing we can open today is pleasant perfume for our beloved. Pour this fragrance on their head and tired feet, rather than waiting to shower attention on a body no longer living. In the present times, the pleasant perfume is provided only for the body of Christ. We agree that mankind needs compassion, since it has been suffering with anxiety for over 6,000 years, as mentioned by the Apostle Paul in Romans 8 and 22. Quote, "The whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now." End quote. So, let us take every occasion to encourage people with the words of the Gospel. "Fear not, for behold, I bring you great joy, which shall be to all people. In the appropriate time, the kingdom of God will come and bring peace and joy to all." Unfortunately, these words do not bring much comfort to people. People want blessings today. So we say that the work of blessing and healing the human race belongs to the next century. We need to manifest love and comfort to brethren first, so long as the church is on this side of the veil. Let the atmosphere in our ecclesia and family be filled with the beautiful fragrance of compassion and love. Such fragrance is most released when we serve. Let us be ready to serve. Ready for service indicates the development of a Christian who was able to exert self-control and therefore able to comfort others. What we do for others is what is most valuable in life. Quote, "Be ye followers of God as dear children. Walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour." End of quote. That's Ephesians 5:1-2.